Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you get sick?
Nah, I'm still good. I feel like I've woken up with a throat tickle almost every day, but ooh, almost through like...
That's how it started for
telling
me.
Telling it how it's done.
I
mean, for months I've had a throat tickle that's never developed into anything more.
Oh.
And every day I get it and I'm like...
Could be an STI. That's true. Never going to go away.
Throat gonorrhea. No, throat gonorrhea. That would go away.
Here's,
come on. Not can all I confess STIs something? Last forever. Yes.
Can I confess something crazy? I think maybe I've talked about this before. When I lost my virginity to a woman, I didn't use protection. This is terrible to like share on a podcast. But isn't that crazy?
Well, I felt the culture when I was a teenager as well was very much like, did you use a condom in a way where it was like, it's 50-50, you know? Like,
I can't believe it. Like, I'm truly shocked.
Yeah.
What the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah.
Me of all people.
I'm always like that there's like people like, it's so hard to get... Well, people are like, it's so hard to get gay men to use condoms. But I'm like, the first time I had gay sex, I was like, condom, please.
I was like screaming it.
Yeah, but like, then again, you know, I was 22 or whatever.
Yeah, true. We weren't like 16. Just like exactly. Kind of bumbling around.
Just winging it.
Imagine having sex. Gay sex. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I've done both. I've had both sex and gay sex.
No, sorry, but to specify, it was sex with a man as a teenager with another
teenager. Crazy. Sometimes I think back on like knowing people, you know, when there was people that you were like, you kind of had an inkling with gay, but you were in Christchurch, so you weren't telling anyone. And I'm like, oh, I imagine if you were just like, hey, man, should we just help each other out and give it a go?
Yeah, I love that. It's sort of like, there should be like Facebook groups for it or something.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we all know that there should be a rule of like, you know, it's not going to get good until you're like your fourth or fifth person in. So you may as well, knock those ones out with a friend.
Yeah. Or a Facebook group just for soft, nerdy gay men.
Just to like work it out.
To work it out. Yeah.
Cue theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Welcome along to the Male Gaze on a brilliant episode. One of the first times that Chris really took the lead on the dock. So much so that I've not put anything in the dock.
I put everything in the dock. We were going to record 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And you didn't turn up.
I just couldn't do it.
You didn't apologize.
Did I not?
There's no apology.
You didn't show up though, right?
I was here for an hour.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Because you said you were running late at 6:30, which is when we were meeting.
No, I had no idea.
You?
Oh my god, I'm so embarrassed.
It's fine.
Are you kidding me?
I'm serious.
Oh,
it was 6:24 when you messaged, and you were like, "I'm still at the office," and I was like, "He'll be on his way." And then it was 7:30 when you next messaged, and you were like, "I could leave now," and I was like, "No, I've been here an hour." I was like, "I'm going."
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh, is that shocking? I'm so embarrassed.
It's shocking.
I had truly no idea.
I'm going to say this. I didn't bring it up because I knew this is true gossip. Everyone's going to be like on tender hooks listening to this. But you've had a massive week. You had a huge show. But you did not apologize.
I just had no idea. That whole hour I was in the sort of meeting where you can't.
I knew you would be busy.
Phone,
I knew you would be so busy. And I was
so sorry.
No, I knew you were so busy.
Oh, my God, Chris. Well, the reason I didn't apologize is because I had no idea that you were waiting for me for an hour.
Because we said we'd meet at 6:30.
Oh.
Why would I not have been there?
I don't know. It was 6:24. You're always at least 6 minutes late.
You're 10 minutes late today.
I know.
You can't.
I've been working.
So have I.
Oh.
It was. Honestly. Legendary. And I was like saying to Tim, I was like, should I bring it up? And he's like, you'll find your way. And I was like, on the podcast.
That's crazy. Oh, no wonder you hate me so much.
I hated you today. Not yesterday, because I forgave you. I was like, he is so busy. And I totally was like, I've got to be there for my friend. He'll apologize. I won't even ask for it. I'll throw a couple of shady digs, but I'm going to be so
oh my God,
company.
Chris. But truly, I had no idea.
How did you have no idea?
I don't know. I'm just do you know what, so focused on the other things that I was doing.
And do you know what was the insane thing was? You agreed to meet on Monday evening.
I know.
It was your pitch. It was like, should we do Monday evening?
Yeah, well, I didn't think that I'd be still in the office that late.
Crazy. It was one of the funniest things. Well, not funniest.
It doesn't seem like it was funny.
No, I was like, I'll bring this in a lighthearted way. And I was like, no, I'm still hurt.
Wow. I'm so sorry, Chris. I'm really deeply sorry. I can't believe I did that to you. And I truly had no idea until this point that I did that to you.
It definitely feels like something that I'm not actually angry about. I only brought it up.
Look at your face. This is definitely... Since you're angry.
I'm on the verge of tears. No. I brought this up in a like jokingly way, and then your reaction was pure vulnerability that I was like, he means it.
Thanks, man. Well, now I know when I was trying to make some snide little jokes about the Google Doc today, you were
it
like...
It was like...
Yeah, I've really... I was I like, made the doc.
I could not believe it. And then I could not believe it. And I was holding back like... You know when you're holding back like pure like acidic fire? And I was like, I'm going to hold this back. And then when you started digging about my terrible doc, I was like, is he for real? But I was like, I also was like, maybe he still doesn't know that I was at the house for an hour.
Oh, I didn't. I truly didn't. I had no idea.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready?
I'm cancelled. I'm
no, you're not cancelled. You're not cancelled.
Okay.
Because we all do shit like this all the time. And it was a really busy day for you. You've started a new job.
I had no idea. I had no idea.
How?
I don't know.
And you must have been so preoccupied with this job that you were like, you must have acknowledged the time because you're like, it's 6:24. I'll message being like, I'm still at work.
Yes, and I guess...
And then you got back to work and I was like, when I got that message, I was like rocking in the front door.
Because, yes, I'm also adjusting to a world where, like, me saying I'm still at work doesn't mean I could be there in 10... That means it's cancelled. But when I said that, that's it's cancelled because I have to bus in and out of work. So I... When
I have a car. If
I'm still at work, I'm half an hour away.
Oh, that is... Now, I'm adjusting to that.
Yeah, so I'm sorry.
What I feel like has happened is
and
like,
this is me, like, not explaining how... you know, just sending a short message that should have been... Of so much more.
And
detail.
Then I was like, okay, yep. And I was like, there's no. It was like, it was so shorthand. And I was like, how do I. And then it's so crazy when you want someone to apologize to you. When you just like, all you want is like. And I was like, I don't. I just need the word sorry, like in the messenger thread. And I don't know, like.
Oh.
No. It's fine. I was like, I don't know, like, how I want it. I was like, but I don't want to dig for it. And then I was like, you can say sorry if you... And then I was like, you can't message that. Like, there's no way that can be somewhat of a joke. Like, you just have...
Oh.
And I was like, I'll just let it happen. And it's like, I'll bring it up on the podcast. And then we'll, like, talk it out slowly, beat by beat.
Yes.
But also, it's like a fucking podcast and who cares?
But you're still here for an hour and you don't want to be... We're all very busy people. You know,
totally.
You don't want to be here.
That was fine. I mean, when we cancelled, I was like, that would have been the record. And then I just get on with my life.
Yeah, I suppose so. And I mean, you and me have done this to Tim before.
Oh my God.
But we've just been unified.
But we both experienced it on the other side. And we were like, sorry, we're so sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
But this was like...
Where I was like, at work still.
None the wiser.
Yeah.
And also, now, this is like me adjusting to our new normal, which is that we don't work and basically live together and spend all our time together.
Yeah.
Because you've got a different job.
Yeah.
With a rival network. Oh, I mean, not a rival network. I mean, I'm also working there, and I was also with you.
You were there, and part of what I was getting done was stuff for you.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'll be the first to apologize then. I was like, so I don't know that you being like, I'm on my way back from work means a bus.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And that night.
If anything, do you know whose fault this is? Auckland Transport.
Auckland Transport.
Let's get that light rail happening.
Oh my God. If you could have seen how miserable I was that day as well, because I left so late that the buses were going less frequently that I had to go and wait in the freezing cold. I was like, it was like the worst night of my life, and then I had to get back. It was the worst night of your life. At Tim's comfortable house while he probably
was not the worst night of my life. It was fine. I played with his dog.
Yeah.
Which, let's have a wee chat about Tim's dog. Because Tim's not. Okay, so Tim, our producer's got a dog at the moment.
At the moment, you're expecting him to ditch it.
Like in this
we're
moment.
Hoping he'll
at
take
the moment
it back.
Of his Tim's 100-year life. I mean, you know.
It's still, I mean, you have a dog for up to 14 years. So,
yep, so that's, at the moment,
it's 14% of his
can
life.
Can you remember years 1 to 14?
Yes.
A bit of them.
Yeah, some of those are traumatic. Okay, some of those are burned in my brain.
7 to 14, I would say, not that memorable. Anyway. Oh, there's only 7 years. Oh my God, I'm so stupid. Anyway, the dog, like, is really confronting to me because I'm like, I want a dog, and I want a dog like that, and it is just a handful.
It is. Naughty.
Whenever
he is
anyone
naughty.
Knocks on the door, the dog loses it.
Today he didn't bark at me and yell at me, which was nice.
He did bark and yell at you, and then we all went, stop it, Rufus! Maybe
you
are so... I'm unplugged from your surroundings. You don't know when the time is, or that a dog literally barked at you for like 2 minutes, and then Tim and I both told him to shut up.
Okay, cool.
You're like Helen Keller, but you're not deaf or blind.
Do you think right now there's someone somewhere who I'm an hour late to meet?
Who's like listening to this podcast being like, oh, I know where he was now.
Yeah. I'll ask for that apology in 3 weeks.
Have you been listening up? Have you been reading up on all this, like, Family Bar drama?
Yeah, I have.
Did you read the article?
Because I did read the article. In the dark, it said family article, which I have not read. That was Chris's note.
But then
I put that in the thread to make fun of Chris. And then he was like, yeah, I haven't had time because obviously he was, you know, still hurting.
I was still bleeding. And also, then I messaged, and now I have read it, and you still hadn't added anything into the doc.
No, I don't. I have.
There's been, honestly, 400 docs I have not written in.
No, Chris, we haven't done 400 episodes. We've done 10 episodes.
We've done 4,000
We've done
episodes
6 episodes of this weekly podcast over 4 years.
But have you seen
Family,
did you read the article? I forgot the answer.
Yes, I read the article.
Yeah, which is different. It's sort of a different... issue, but then also the same issue.
Yes, well, a lot of the media has been to do with the way women are treated in the bar, or gender non-binary people, trans people. A lot of has been a lot of the experiences that have been.
It's like an invasion of straight people into that space, and
yeah,
who kind of one treat it as like a novel, fun space to kind of like point and laugh at anything that's kind of like different to them. And then also there's a lot of like predatory behavior going on as well.
There's this woman getting grabbed, getting
it's
told
awful.
Like people leering at women, making out, grabbing people. Awful.
It's so sad because so I was in Sydney with Hudson Halls like 2 weeks ago or a week ago or whatever, and it was my first time, like, kind of getting immersed amongst the sort of gay Sydney life stuff.
Have you listened to the Sydney Gays podcast?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should listen to a bit.
Oh, really?
I skimmed through one episode and I was like
this is not for me.
It's so funny. So it's not good.
But I was on Oxford Street.
Yeah.
It was just like, there's so many bars. Right? Yeah. And I was like, we've just got the one. Or now we've got, like, Staircase as well.
Yeah.
Which is, I was like, the first time we've kind of had options, really, but it was always like, well, you just go to family.
Oh, I remember one time, maybe this was before you moved up to Auckland, there was a bar called Legend, I think.
There's always been another one that's sort of been like, there's always been another kind, there's been like,
yeah.
And there was like Puff.
Oh, there was Puff. I never went to Puff, but I went to, Legend was cool.
Right.
It was a good space.
It's like, that's sort of what the need is like, is beginning to emerge, like we need more spaces or outlets, right?
And there's a big problem. They kind of talk about this in the article, and the family bar owners, I think a lot of their statements have been bullshit, but then it's part of one of the things they do say is that the queer community can be very fickle. They can be like, this bar's not giving us what we want, and then someone will put up a bar and be like, and essentially give those things that people are asking for, and people don't turn up and support us, and then it just closes.
I.e. us not going to family. Oh, going to staircase. But that's more a problem of us not going out at all.
I know, that's the thing. And that's why part of me is like, oh.
If I was young.
Yeah, it's like, I have these complaints about family, but I'll spend, you know, $20 there every 2 months, you know? Like,
totally.
I'm not supporting the business, so am I, I did go this weekend and had a good old time, did some vodka soda, sung some karaoke, but...
You were there for the second half of this drama, right?
So, yes.
Which was Ribena, the drag queen on stage, just saying a whole bunch of racist stuff.
It was what? I went into the main bar for 5 minutes and it all happened. I don't even want to repeat anything that happened.
You don't need to repeat
this. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
It was wild. I went to see Queen Kong, who was incredible, such a good drag queen. Please go see Queen Kong from... Adelaide, if you're ever looking for a fantastic drag performer. That is an amazing number, and then everything that happened straight afterwards was shocking.
I've read it on quite a few people's like social media, like Instagram pages and stuff. Stories. Pages, I sound 45. I am. And it highlights me like this really frustrating habit of and there's so many like, I can't believe the amount of like, white gays there have been that have come out like defending Ribena's comments. It's been like, oh, like Bianca's known for offensive stuff. It's drag. Like that's the whole point of it. And you're like, it's not, it's not. It doesn't excuse that kind of, and those jokes aren't actually funny. Like,
not funny. And Noah was laughing.
No,
and the,
yeah.
The bit that was made that I felt was so traumatic to watch was that they were all comments about the Asian community, basically, and pointing out people calling them out, and then she pulled a guy on stage and was saying that all. And then, I mean, it's just such an awful position to put an audience member into, to make them stand on stage, essentially, like, either they have to, you know, speak out, and then, like, they're making a fuss, or look like they're complicit in what's going on, which is... And the jokes were disgusting. It was so... Ugh! Ugh!
And it's like... If you're up on that stage, you are, and if you're up to be on stage, really is like a privilege, because you get given a literal platform above everyone else, where everyone can see you and you can speak to them.
I'd never thought about the stage. The phrase "you giving a platform," literal meaning of that.
Well, that is.
I didn't know that.
Well, I guess it is. Well, I mean,
it is. I mean, it must be, right?
Yeah. Oh, I guess I am a scholar. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And it's like, so whatever you do say up there actually needs to be held to account, you know, and if you do say something, if your behavior is like, offensive or racist or, you know, you should be, I feel like people are calling out people for attacking Ribena on those comments, and it's like, because she's a drag performer, but it's like, well, you know, she's in a position where she's speaking, you know, above everyone else, on a higher platform, and therefore, like, you can call her out on that.
Totally, and it's just so shitty for the queer community to do it, given, like, I think there's probably so many times for queer people when they sit in the audience of a show designed for kind of heteronormative society where they feel like they're being othered or made to feel outside, and then to go into a space which should be safe, and then for part of that community again to feel that same way. It's so bad.
And it's that kind of, it's also that really frustrating thing around gay men being like, well, I've been marginalized too, and that excuses like racist jokes.
Yeah.
Like, what is up with that?
And they're just never creative. They're never. It's
the whole rice, no spice mentality on Grindr is like truly toxic. Like,
okay, I did a funny joke about no rice, no spice the other day.
Who did?
Me. I did a joke about Narasno Spice. James Roque does a joke about Narasno Spice.
Oh, yes. It.
I'm hosting Fringe Bar Wellington. Bring him on there.
Yeah.
This is so vapid to repeat a joke I did in the show.
No,
today.
You've taken me there.
No one needs to hear this. Anyway, hold on.
You can't say, I'm in Wellington, Fringe Bar, and then go, oh, actually, no one needs to hear it. You literally set the scene, and then you're like, no one needs to hear this.
I just can't believe my own behavior.
I mean, you are toxic today.
And then I said, we just joke about Narasno Spice. And then when I got up on stage, I said, oh, Narasno Spice, it does sound offensive, but that's actually just the diet you need to go on if you want a bottom. It's a bad joke.
It's so bad.
Chris, it got a good laugh, mate.
It's weird that James Roque is doing a no. I mean, it's no rice.
He does a bit about seeing girls on Tinder having no Asians.
So I was wondering if it exists in straight culture.
Yeah,
as well.
Girls have no Asians, no Indians, and then he does but only on Grindr is it called No Rice, No Spice.
Very Grindr specific.
Yeah.
It's awful. It is truly toxic.
It's crazy. Life's crazy. The world's crazy.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you want to know my fact of the game?
I do, because I read it in the doc and I was like, reading this, I don't understand what this is.
Because it's the second half. Basically, I just wrote the fact in, but didn't write all. This podcast has become a behind the scenes as well as like how it works. Anyway, so in Sydney, the Imperial,
okay,
which is another drag bar or gay bar, bar, had a lot of queens there. But it's recently gone through this like massive renovation, and it was my first time ever stepping inside of a queer space that was like not a bit like rough around the edges, like,
oh,
like no shade to all the queer spaces I've been into, but usually it's like
a bit grunge.
Well, it's a little bit grungy, or like, and it's made up to look nice, like, yeah. But like, you know, it's a bit sticky on the floor, yeah. You know, a bit of the paint's chipped or what have you, and there's like pride flags from like 8 years ago kind of like still up on the,
yeah,
you know, it's like things have accumulated and over time, whereas it's just like this used to be a bar like that, and then it's just gone through like honestly like a multi-million dollar makeover, and it was like a profound experience kind of being in a space that was like expensive but made for queers, like I think that's what it felt like, a little bit of a treat, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, nice.
So I went to a drag and dine dinner night for some friends. And it was, there was like four gay men at the table and then 30 straight women, which is, I think, I was like, oh, maybe straight women are the only people that buy tickets to Dragon Dine.
Yeah, true.
And that was a whole other experience. But the movie Priscilla is set, starts in that bar.
Okay,
and
very
they,
cool.
Like, the bus leaves from the outside. So I felt a bit like, ooh, like I was doing like a Hollywood tour.
Yes. Beautiful.
And they named the restaurant there Priscilla's after the movie. Anyway, I was like reading up a little bit more about, like, I was like, it's so weird that Priscilla got made.
Like, it is, and that it was so popular.
Yeah, and then got turned into like a musical that was then even like more popular, and it's just like toured the world ever since. It performed like the Tonys, like it's done, like the movie's done it all, and so is the musical, and it's like crazy to me.
Yeah, true.
It's just like such a weird. And it's also felt like it was like Australia was like nailing drag before, well, like New Zealand was really like kind of even getting started.
What if you think about like Dame Edna being one of the most famous comedians? I mean, not that we can talk too possibly about Barry Humphries in his current life, but like,
yeah,
amazing that was like a mainstream huge thing.
Australia has such a specific drag culture as well. Yeah. Like all their drag queens kind of joke and sound the same. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I quite like it though. But the film had such a small budget. Obviously, because it's like a drag queen
film.
But the, so Lizzie Gardner, she won the and Tim Chappell, they were costume designers. They won an Oscar for the movie, which I didn't realize, at the 1995 Oscars. And their budget was so small that, so the like really famous kind of, one of the most famous dresses in that movie is like that jandal dress, where it's like all those jandals attached together. It costs $7.
What?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And she got all the stuff from a Target.
Wow. Like, that's so cool.
I love that, right?
And I bet they must have been in like probably like period dramas that had million
there's
dollar
like, I think
budgets.
There's something about like four or five films that are non-period dramas that have ever won
really?
The costume award, yeah.
Wow.
And that's one of them, Priscilla.
I think there are some of the Priscilla costumes in, what's the name? Acme, the museum in Melbourne.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's where you can look at Cate Blanchett's Oscar and the piano from The Piano.
Would you give your Oscar to a museum?
No.
You'd keep it, eh?
Yeah, I don't even know which room I'd put
There's
it in.
There's so many celebrities whose answer to like when I get an Oscar is like, oh, I just put it on the toilet, ha ha ha. And I was like, I would not. I'd get a new room for my house.
Yeah.
And I'd put it just in there alone.
If you think about putting it on a shelf, I'm like, it gets its own shelf. Nothing else is on that shelf.
It deserves a plinth.
Yeah.
And I'm always some looking for a reason to have a plinth in the house.
I think that the one reason that Cate Blanchett's probably not given hers to that museum is because she's got two. She's got one for Aviator, I think, which she keeps for herself. And I believe she has donated the Blue Jasmine one because it's the Woody Allen one. So she's probably like, you guys.
I was wondering, is that a problematic one?
Yeah.
She rocks, eh? She's
good.
She's
stuff.
Very funny.
But she's very hot in Ocean's 8. As bad as Ocean's 8. Oh, I don't know if it was bad, but it was just fine. But she was hot. I shot my own film review.
It was fine, but she was hot.
It was bad. I don't know if it was bad. It was fine. That's cool. I saw Spider-Man. Have you seen it? Far From Home?
Is it the new one?
The new one, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Tom Holland, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is crazy about his butt. I feel like that's the main thing. It's
I haven't
really
even noticed
confusing.
It. So, I guess, I mean, Spider-Man, in the costume you see his butt really good.
Yeah, I feel like every superhero in a costume has like a specific thing that they're like, oogle over these goodies, you know?
Yeah.
And for Batman, it's like the abs and the pecs.
Yeah.
And
Captain America's the butt. They even make a joke about it in Avengers Endgame.
Right.
They do, yeah.
Superman, it's the bulge.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man, weirdly, even though he's like a teenager,
yeah,
they're like, the little poster, like he's like facing backwards, turning towards you, like, come on, daddy.
Get a good
with
look
his
at
butt,
this.
Like, with his butt, like,
wow.
And right in the middle where your eye goes.
He's not a teenager IRL. He's about 23.
It's really good to know that.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to make sure you knew that. He was over 20 in the first movie.
And so he's like a Broadway
ogle away.
Star.
Yeah, I think he is.
Because his lip sync battle is like obviously iconic.
Oh my god, wow.
It's such an amazing. I feel like if there's like a couple of key moments of like trying to tackle toxic masculinity, that video is one of
them.
It's
one of them. I just love any video like that where you get to see a talent you didn't know someone had, and it feels like a full revelation. Like watching that's like, why did no one tell me?
He can play gay roles.
Oh yeah, he's allowed. He's allowed.
I feel like that's the new quota, right?
Yeah.
In my gay opinion, Tom Holland, he can play gay roles.
He can play gay roles. If you can dance, you can play gay roles.
I'm putting, yeah, absolutely. If you can dance, if you do a pirouette and like the splits, you can play gay roles.
It was cool seeing that movie, seeing Jake Gyllenhaal. I was talking about this with our friend Haley the other day, how like I've had a crush on him the entirety of my adult life. And
wow.
I feel like I've grown up with him in the same way that like I grew up reading Harry Potter, and Harry Potter was the same age as me the whole way through. And I feel like I've grown with Jake Gyllenhaal, and as my tastes changed, he's evolved into the new thing that I like. Yeah.
That's nice to have one of those.
Isn't it? Yeah.
I started watching Harry Potter.
Okay.
Random.
The first two were probably pretty bad.
I didn't
imagine.
Watch the first two.
Oh, the third one's good.
Yeah. So, in my fever, I was like, what am I going to do? And I was like, I'm going to start watching the Harry Potter films, even though I'm sure I haven't read up on the story yet. there's a lot. You have to be across everything, and sometimes you just don't have enough time. But J.K. Rowling,
she's a turf. Yeah, she's a full turf.
Oh fuck,
What happened is she liked a turf's tweet, and then people said it, and she was like, "Oh, grandma moment." And then, but then since then, she's just liked a bunch of other turf tweets. She's followed a bunch of turf accounts.
Oh,
the woman is a turf.
No, yeah. So Michael was like, my boyfriend was like, "You can't watch Harry Potter," and I was like, "What?" He's like, "J.K. Rowling is transphobic," and I was like, "No, but I crave it now." So I secretly watched it anyway while I was sick. And I wasn't supporting J.K. Rowling. I was supporting Emma Watson.
Who's a true feminist Harry. I'd love for Emma Watson
Feminist Harry?
I'd love for Emma Watson to publicly call out J.K. Rowling.
Well, that's what Michael was like, has she? And I was like, I don't know. But I was like, also feel like it's not for me to weigh in on this. As one, not a woman. Or trans. And not...
You're not a woman, trans, or a Harry Potter
or
fan.
Or a Harry Potter fan. It's the main three.
How many did you get through?
Watch 3 and 4.
Oh, they're goodies.
They're full on. There's a couple of crazy things. One is like how they never tire of being at Hogwarts. Like, so
it's a boarding school.
No, but like magic will happen. Like, say in movie 3, movie 4, the boat comes out of the water.
Okay.
With all the Vikings on it.
Oh yeah, very cool.
And the flying chariot with all the French girls in those gorgeous hats.
Yeah.
And I imagine they must have all fit in that anyway. But it's like, you can fit into all sorts of things in Harry Potter land.
Yeah.
And like one of the twins, Ron's twins.
Fred and George.
Turns to Ron and goes, "Well, you don't see that every day." And I was like, how are you still a like, you see so much magic. How are you still like, well, you don't see that every day?
No. But you might not have seen that particular spell in the same way that, like, I don't know, you might see a type of firework you've never seen before and be like, wow, that is cool.
they're never short of being like, what? How did that happen? And you're always like, magic. You've got a wand. Like, you should not be surprised.
Yeah, but there's different skill levels of magic.
and when Harry,
we can all kick a ball, but when you see someone play soccer, wow, you're still gonna be like, wow.
True. Very good point. And the other one is like, Harry is always singled out for being different, right?
Yeah.
Like, he gets the sorting, I mean, I haven't rewatched the first one, but when he gets the sorting hat on, it's like, yeah, he gets the longest hums and ahs.
Yeah.
And in the Goblet of Fire, for example, when the bit of paper comes out of the goblet and everyone's like, who will it be? If I was in that sky, I'd be like, Harry.
Yeah, that's
I bet
true.
You it's Harry.
Yeah.
Because it's always fucking Harry.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone's like, it's Harry Potter. And everyone's like, what? And it's like, you know, every single movie, he's fucking late or he almost dies or crashes his car. Like, he's fucking up left, right, and center. Of course, it's his fucking name on the burnt piece of paper coming out of the cop. Goblet.
The cop. Coming out of the cop.
I was going to say cup and goblet. It's a cop. Yeah, it's a copulet.
It is wild how many stories and movies and films and books there are that is about, like, a straight white man who, like, doesn't feel normal. You know, it's like...
And he's got, like, extraordinary powers. I'm like, you know what? Hermione is busting her ass. Like, she's going forward and back in time. And
it's like Princess Leia is a fucking... like, she's a princess who knows how to shoot a gun.
And Harry's just like, it's a mighty scar you've got there.
Yeah.
And you're a bit of a legend. You know, it's like, and then it's, he never goes out of his way. He's just thrusted into full-on circumstances. Like, he's not, I guess he is an extraordinary wizard. In fact, he's got, like, heaps of force. But he says the spell's just as good as anyone else.
It is weird that part of it is just, like, saying silly words well as casting a spell.
Is it like, because everyone can be like, what's the one that, like, you kill someone with?
Avada Kedavra.
Avada.
I don't want to say it too loud. Avada Kedavra.
It does
feel dark, doesn't it?
Oh,
or do you not care?
What? That's not the one. Expelliarmus. What's that one?
That makes the wand go out of their hand. Expels. You know, like
Avada Kedavras. When they were doing that at each other.
Yeah.
No, Expelliarmus. When it was Expelliarmus, because Hermione can say that. She's happy to say that. But when Harry does it, it's a little bit stronger.
Yeah. Well,
why?
Did you know that later on they learn to do spells without saying the name of the spell?
Oh, so they just go.
Yeah.
Give her like a nod or a wink.
A bit of intention, a bit of mindfulness.
Yeah. And so no character is gay yet, eh? But they're like, J.K. Rowling was like, Dumbledore's gay. She's
Dumbledore's gay. And then apparently it's going to come out in the next movie. I think there might have been a bit of it. I saw the last one, the last Fantastic Beasts, and it was an appalling film. And I feel like there might have been something about it. But it's like Jude Law and Johnny Depp, basically.
What we want is like, we don't want like a little moment.
I know.
We want a full...
I want a fucking full queer wizard.
Yeah, like I want... like, I want...
I
want
to see a dude lion fuck a dude lion in The Lion King next week.
Really?
Yes.
I don't want to see that new movie.
Yeah, I don't. I
love everyone who's in it, but it just looks like David Attenborough's like Lion Kingdom, but they're not real. The lions didn't really do that because they're animation.
Yeah.
Saw Toy Story though.
Toy Story. I haven't seen it.
Fucking loved it.
Yeah.
And it felt truly like a progressive film. I was like, it's amazing that Pixar are like, their politics are this complicated. And yet they're still making their movies for kids.
Well, they had a Me Too in the ranks.
Oh yeah, and they're Toy Story, but they took it out. Still, oh wait, no.
But he was working for them.
Oh.
That's part of the reason they were like, we got to get rid of this scene. It's because John Lasseter, and I think it was part of the reason Rashida Jones quit. She was working on Toy Story 4 and she quit.
Because she's credited on it.
And John Lasseter still got a credit on it, but it's the last movie he's going to have a credit on. But they had to give it to him because, like, legally, you know, he's not like...
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, it's real yuck.
Probably should have gone and supported that movie either then. But well, I actually wanted to support Tom Hanks and Tim Allen.
You don't want to support Tim Allen.
Crazy? It's
Tim Allen's full Trump, I think.
Is he?
I think so.
No.
Yeah, he's definitely conservative.
Fuck, everyone's fucked.
Isn't it crazy? Did you watch any of the Democratic debate? Did you like Marianne Williamson?
I watched the first debate, the whole of the first one.
You watched the whole thing?
Yeah. Because I was staying in Sydney with Kip Chapman, who worked on Hudson Hall. He loved it. So we watched all of it. And then with Elizabeth Warren, who's such a legend.
She was there.
Yeah, she was with us. It was she had some great commentary on it too. And we watched bits of the second one. Kind of like ins and out.
The second one was the good one, right? Yeah.
Well, they're both pretty good.
Okay.
And they're more kind of like personalities in the second.
Yes. It's the clip of Marianne Williamson calling out Jacinda Ardern is truly one of the
weirdest things. I wouldn't call it iconic. Let's talk about this. Can we talk about, did I tell you about this young girl that messaged me? I don't know if it's even a young person, but like a young person messaged me on Instagram.
Yeah.
Saying, and it went into my message requests, so like, you know, we're not friends, but I don't know if they're young or a woman, but I get this sense.
Yes. Tell me that.
And it goes, the message goes, you're a queen. And then it's like a hair flick emoji, pride flag emoji, season 12, RuPaul's Drag Race, here we come. And it's like, I do not do drag. There's like maybe one image like miles down on my thread where I did drag like once for like
and someone else put you in it.
Yeah. How would I and then on that show of all things as well?
Amazing!
Like, it's so.
I think you've got to do it. I'm pretty sure it starts filming for her next week, but you need to be there.
Who can I contact? I just love the way that a lot of straight people just presume that all gay men are also drag queens.
Yeah, that's wild. Do you like getting message requests? I love getting a message request because I'm like, I don't get so many that it's like taxing. I get just enough that occasionally they come through and I'm like, what's it gonna be?
Yeah.
Like, I got one this afternoon. It says it's so bizarre. It says hi Eli, I'm Kiev in Auckland, hope you're doing fantastic. That's all. And so shout out to Kiev.
What a legend.
Thanks, Kiev.
Let's finally talk about Lil Nas X.
Oh yeah, I'm all in.
For him being gay?
Yes.
Well, good. Yeah. You don't get to be in or out on that.
Well, I'm also in on the music. And it's crazy because I feel like...
Did Willie Widower dance to Old Town Road? Root, whatever the song's called.
All Time Road.
Did he dance to that song on Dancing with the Stars?
I think he might have. It's been number one.
For ages.
15 weeks. It's 1 week off the record for longest number one ever in the history of the
stars. I hated the song for so long.
Yeah.
And still kind of do. And I remember when he chose that song, I was like, this is the straight. And I made a joke to someone. I was like, this is, maybe to Joseph Moore. I was like, this is the straightest song that's ever played in a ballroom.
I think I might have been there. Maybe I watched that one. I do remember the Country Week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I do remember Country Week.
And then it's crazy to think now it's a gay anthem. Gay.
And the thing
but
is,
but it's one of the straightest songs I've ever heard.
I don't think it even is. It's like full fantasy. The whole song is him pretending to be a cowboy.
Yeah.
And that's the theme of the song. He likes cowboys and he wants to be a cowboy. That's pretty gay.
Yeah. Yeah. True. I was never a cowboys and Indian, like, I mean, you know, apologies, but that's just, I mean, in our days, that's just what we called it. Or like a dinosaurs kid, or like, I get, you know, like so for me, it was like the guys played cowboys, like the boys totally would go around like shooting guns and stuff.
I like the
my brother was kind of into it. But I mean, Chaps for sure.
Yeah.
He's amazing, actually. Like, I've sort of looked into him more and more now.
Yeah, and I watched it. He did an interview on the BBC.
Oh, did he?
He's like, and because his tweets were kind of vague, but then in this interview, he's like, I'm gay. And you know when someone like affirms it like full on, and you're like, cool. I was like,
yeah.
And the fact that he was number one for so long, and that so many straight people love the song, I was like, tricked you.
I wonder if there was any like strategy inside of that. Yeah. Not like, I mean, it's awful to like say that someone's sexuality has like a strategy, and I'm sure.
But his entire career has been a strategy, because you know why that song's successful is because he turned it into a meme himself. He went on TikTok and started its own challenge when no one knew the song, and that's why it got picked up.
He's a legend.
He's really smart.
Well, I was like, you know, who's to say? And it's awful to speculate. But my mind did go like, I wonder if they were like, if you just sort of like keep it quiet and, you know, like, you know, as you hear in the movies about film, the evil film, like, because all film producers are, music producers are evil.
Yeah.
If they were like, you know, rap is hard and it's harder if you're gay. But there are quite a few like openly gay rappers.
Kevin Abstract is pretty big. Brockhampton's pretty big.
I mean, I said there are and I couldn't list one, but I don't know names, but
he does say in the interview, he's like, I was ready to take it to the grave. He was like, I almost never left town, which is so sad. But what he's done is so amazing, because before this happened, and I feel like this is kind of like the second stage of awesomely like subverting society's expectations, because the song was because I think when you like first release a song, you can choose kind of what charts it's ending into. So he put it on the country chart. And then when it got to number 19 on the country chart and it was climbing really fast, they removed it because they were like, this song doesn't have enough things to qualify as country music.
Right.
Which is bullshit, because there's so many other songs that will chart as country but are just pop. But because it's a white artist, they'll let it chart.
Totally.
So then he got Billy Ray Cyrus involved to like certify how country it was, and then obviously just has fucking stormed it since then. And then I just love that he like fucked the country charts.
And I liked, as they would put it, funked.
Yeah. What? Who would put it? Wait, who are you saying would say funked?
Like a country. Oh, he gone and funked the country charts.
I don't know if funked is a notorious word used by black people into or performing country music.
And I was like, what I like about it is that he came out while the song is still number one.
Yeah.
Rather than like, it's not like, like there's still like everyone's still listening to the song, and then it's like,
yeah,
aha!
It's absolutely iconic that he kept Taylor Swift's like queer adjacent song, you know, like queer accessory song off the number one spot, and then like we didn't even know that he was actually queer.
It's beautiful. It is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It is good. I need to pee so badly, and every time you make me laugh, and you do sometimes,
a little bit of wee comes
pushing
out.
It down. So
let's wrap
this up,
because I've got to go meet my boyfriend and your ex-girlfriend for dinner. Brinley.
Wow, it's been a long time since I saw her.
Sorry for bringing her up.
Yeah,
I felt like you guys were sweet and everything.
No, we were.
Do you have anything to plug?
please come. If you live in Scotland or if you can travel to Scotland, any way you can get there, come to my show. Although I've only got one empty one in the first little while. But
no idea how many tickets I've sold.
I shouldn't be feeling good about any of the numbers.
You seem great. You had a wee smile and a wee look at the sky when you said, I don't have one in the first week that no one's.
I think it's the second show. No one's booked any tickets for the second show. And the tickets are cheaper. So please come to that if you want to.
Crazy.
Please come see both of us. We're in Edinburgh very soon.
I'm doing shows in London as well. I'm doing like two or three shows in London before I go. I should know the dates, but I'll put them online soon. So if you're in London and want to come see me there, please fucking please come there. I'm doing Camp Bench. And then I'm also doing it in Edinburgh as well. So if you're a fan in Edinburgh or anywhere in Scotland and you like good travel, come along.
Isn't it so funny? We're like, I hope we have fans. That's gonna be, it's like 60 fans for 25 shows. It's like, I hope we've got like 400 fans. it should go.
Oh, well.
That was terrible math. 60, that's way more than 400.
It's time to take this horse to the old town road.
By that I mean, I'm going to piss out of my horse dick. The Queen of the Week, by the way, she did write in the...
I can't believe you said that.
I'm sorry.
You apologize.
I'm so bad. I'm going to piss out my dick and cry out of my face because I'm a bad man who needs to be.
But Queen of the Week is Mariah Carey.
Because she did the bottle cap challenge.
I was surprised her voice was as good as it was. It
sounded great.
She's like...
It was so good. Thank you so much for listening. Come to our shows. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's the male gaze. They're both male.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.